Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It speaks to the direction of where we could have went in that four-game slide. And I thought it revealed a lot of who we were as a team and who we are as people. No one, not one time started pointing fingers. No one started blaming. I hate blamers. I hate people that hate's a strong word, but I dislike blamers and people that try to throw blame on others. We never did that. Coaches, players, everybody. We just tried to come up with solutions. That part's what I took from it. It put us now in a position where we are playing some meaningful games. That's a credit to our players for battling through that. So it just makes you proud to be their coach.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Matt Nagy. Let's get out to Rich Campbell covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Morning, Rich.
I'm great, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing great, and curious to get your take on tomorrow night. I mean, we hear Matt Nagy talking there about the glorious coming together of his team and getting a couple of wins in a row against teams that have combined for five wins, and now you play one that has six and is 500 like you are. What's your take on particularly Prince and whether he'll be available and how much that affects the game?
Yeah, I think that is a really big injury for the Bears. I think it's going to go up till game time, which probably doesn't bode well on a really cold night, but we'll see. You know, Prince has been fairly durable, and I think if you had to list maybe the most underappreciated Bears, you know, the guys who really are an important part of what they do but didn't get that Pro Bowl recognition or isn't around the ball necessarily scoring, getting his replays showed all the time, it's Prince. He just takes away receivers by the way he plays press coverage, and the Bears have a huge drop-off behind Kyle Fuller and Prince to Kevin Tolliver and Duke Shelley. And if Kevin Tolliver has to play against Michael Gallup or Amari Cooper, you would assume Randall Cobb in the slot and Buster Screen there, but on the outside, I think it's a major drop-off, and there's a decent chance if Prince doesn't play, we are talking tomorrow night about, oh man, he is that valuable to this group, and we'll, you know, we'll see if he ends up giving it a go. But I just think, you know, you're playing the NFL's top-ranked offense in yards per play and total yards, the NFL's passing leader with a ton of weapons in the passing game. The Bears don't have the depth, I don't think, to withstand Prince's injury.
And Kyle Fuller's not your ideal cover corner, better in the zone, but I think that if you do have an opportunity to use him on Amari Cooper as many snaps as possible, Rich, you might take advantage. The question is, will the Bears do that? But also, how will this affect Chuck Pagano's approach? Do you become more aggressive because you feel like you don't have much to lose and they're going to isolate your mismatch as much as they can? Or do you try to protect that guy and maybe play it a little bit more conservatively, hoping that, you know, you can scheme your way in to stay in the game?
I think it's a great question, and I don't know the answer for sure, but I think based on what we've seen from Chuck this year, that they will try to play more conservatively and make the Cowboys just bite off small chunks to go down the field so their Bears aren't giving up the big plays. Tolliver, his main issue, the reason he was deactivated for a stretch earlier this year, and he's a second-year undrafted corner out of LSU, great measurables, but just knowing his assignments has been the big thing with him, knowing where to line up, knowing what to do. And if that's your problem with a guy, then yeah, you're probably just going to back off and not get him in a situation where he's going to be relied on to be a last line of defense, or whether a coverage bust could open something up and they're left chasing the play. So I think they'll try to have to back off a little bit and just try to get home with four. Now, the other way to go at it, like you said, is to send bodies and make Dak try to get the ball out quickly. That way you don't have to cover very long and you just go tackle. So we'll see how they do it. But I just think the drop-off is so big that neither one is a very encouraging option.
What about the Cowboys' just kind of life situation, right? The coach under fire.
It's a circus.
It is a circus, and the circus is coming to town. Does that distraction damage them? Are they feeling good about themselves because of what happened with Philadelphia? What's your take on them?
Yeah, this is a really fascinating part of tomorrow night, is that the Bears are 6-6 and thrilled to be there. The Cowboys are 6-6 and the whole ship is sinking. And Jerry Jones, the owner, has basically said that their coach is getting fired if he doesn't win the Super Bowl. So I'll be really interested to see what that does for the Cowboys' sharpness against a Bears team that is back in its comfortable underdog role. I mean, they were so comfortable in that role last year and didn't handle expectations well this year at all. And so now that they're back and they're at home, let's see what Dallas does offensively. Can they protect the ball and just do what they do well and handle a Bears team that really the Cowboys on paper are better than? I mean, they're top 10 in on offense and on defense. And for me, where this matchup doesn't go the Bears' way is that Bears offensive line against the Cowboys front seven. You heard Mark Helfrich earlier this week call that front seven elite, elite, elite. He gave him three elites. When you hear that against what we know about this Bears blocking group, it doesn't bode well. So we'll see if the Cowboys come out with, you know, the fire and the focus they'll need to beat an opponent that they're favored to beat and they probably should beat.
I thought I was listening to P.J. Fleck, all the elite talk with Helfrich. Our conversation with Rich Campbell is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly Hard Seltzer, drink what you want. So, Rich, how do they slow down that pass rush? The Bears haven't really – they have every screen, I think, imaginable, but they don't really run that very well. They're not a big draw team. They resist running the football when they need to run the football. How do you expect them to combat this pass rush, which could change the game in a hurry?
Yeah, you make a great point about the screen game, David, that when they do run their screens, they seem disjointed. The timing's off. Some of that's from inexperience on the offensive line, and some of that is just bad ball. And they've got to do a better job with that. I think there will be opportunities to do that. And then I think Mitch has gotten a little bit better. At least he was against the Lions with the RPO game and getting the ball horizontally, throwing it in the RPO game. They had RPOs going on that opening drive that got them their first touchdown in weeks on the opening drive against the Lions because Mitch was seeing the field well and executing in those RPOs. So maybe that's a way to just get the ball toward the perimeter and negate a Dallas pass rush that is really good getting home with four. Leighton Vander Esch is not going to play. I'm sure you guys saw that. He's out with a neck injury, but still really good getting home, and they're going to have to get the ball out of Mitch's hands, and I'm not sure they can balance it with the run game. I don't think it's any coincidence that David Montgomery averaged 4.7 yards per carry in Mitch's best game of the year. And I'm not sure, again, just with that front seven of the Cowboys, that the Bears are going to be able to do what they want from a blocking standpoint to achieve that balance and to otherwise stay in that rhythm.
I think one of the things that kind of scares you is you look at what Galladay did with the Lions against the Bears, and you think Amari is a better player than him, and you think you're also down a corner. So the Bears, you know, this is a team that can put up a ton of yards. They do score points. They score more points than the Bears. The Bears are going to have to be able to score in this game. It's going to be huge for them to keep up a little bit and not put it all in the defense.
It's going to be like that all month. And yeah. I think that's one of the most interesting – that's probably the most interesting part of the run-in here, because the playoffs truly – we shouldn't be talking about those until a couple other things happen. The Bears can't be eliminated this weekend, but they are climbing so far uphill on that. To just focus on December and seeing if these improvements that Nagy has seen in Mitch, that if those become something more substantial, that this offense can keep pace with a team that can score 24, 30 points regularly. Just, you know, the run in here is Cowboys, Packers, Chiefs, Vikings. I mean, that's a different level of competition than what we were talking about in November. And so, yeah, for me, can Mitch build on some of the rhythm plays, the decision-making that Nagy has praised that turned into results against the Lions? To me, it starts with that O-line. Again, Mitch has not been mechanically, fundamentally sound and sound with his decision making when he is under pressure. You see him leak out of the back of the pocket too often. He's not climbing the pocket. He doesn't keep his eyes downfield regularly enough. He started to get better at that against the Giants and again against the Lions, but that is going to be a real key for them. And the defense is going to have to do its part. Like you said, if these offenses are going arcade style, then the Bears, we know they can't keep up. And I know we talked about Prince in the open, and any listener out there could go, well, Prince blew that coverage on the first TD pass against the Lions. That's true. But overall, Prince is, it helps that group a ton, and I'm with you. You know, Akeem Hicks will not be back. We know he's not eligible to play tomorrow, and so they're going to have to get to Dak. They're going to have to get the ball out. They're going to have to stop the run, and it's going to be a tough challenge.
41 degrees at kickoff, Rich. I think we talk about, you know, Eddie Pinheiro missing and not being trusted. How does he factor in this week, and also what is your pick for the game?
He factors in probably the same way as Dallas's kicker, because they've had some similar problems there. And the interesting thing about the Cowboys, even though they're 6-6, their Pythagorean win record, and I know you're all about this, David, is 7.8 wins. They are 0-4 in games decided by 7 points or less. They don't win close games. And so then it does come down to your kicker in these types of situations. And Eddie, as we know, has talked a lot about the conditions and the cold and the wind at Soldier Field. Is it to the point where it's in his head and it's a negative, it's a distraction? Possibly he'll have another chance tomorrow to prove that it's not. I think for me, this offense just goes the wrong way, or the matchup goes the wrong way for the Bears with this O-line Cowboys front seven matchup. So I've got Cowboys 24, Bears 13.
All righty. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate
Thanks, Rich.
It, bud.
Enjoy the game, guys. Thanks.
That's interesting. 24-13.
That's not close. That's not a close game.
That's an interesting score.
Says your kicker doesn't matter. Your cornerback's going to get beaten. Your offensive line's going to get trampled. You are going to have a long night at Soldier Field. 24-13.
Disappointing year.
Wow.
Wow is right.
11 points.
312-644-6767. Is that what you think? Do you think the Bears are going to lose this game? I'd be very curious to get some response from our listeners. That's a lopsided score. Mully and Haw on the score.
This is Bears Friday on a Wednesday, brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When I look at coaching, and this stuff is the head coach, I look at all coaches. I think about there's no exclusive. Nobody's got the exclusive skills to get the job done so that collectively you can win a Super Bowl. But they're qualified people. Jason Garrett is one of them. In my opinion, Jason Garrett would be coaching in the NFL next year.
Again, damning with faint praise. I think he belongs in the league as a coach somewhere.
That's stunning that he's that naive after he has been around so long and talks so much. Maybe that's the message he wanted to send, but for him not to realize that would be the statement that he's making, the vote of no confidence.
I think he knows what he's saying.
Why would you even say that? Why would you even like give anybody any ammunition to say he's going to coach in the league next year, when you know that everyone in Dallas is going to interpret that as saying anywhere but here? Because that's what he's saying.
312-644-6767. We were talking, Rich picked the Bears to lose by 11, which, you know, we were talking earlier, and I said to you, I think it's going to be a double-digit loss. I think they could lose by 10. And you were like, the Bears? No, really? And I just don't have a ton of faith in them, and I think that Prince injury is worse than they're letting on. But now that I hear it spoken aloud, I'm not sure. I will save my pick till tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll save the pick for tomorrow, but I think that the Amukamara injury, you know, when you look at what he offers them in terms of stability, you're one big play away from breaking the game open when you have a backup cornerback against the NFL's leading passer. And that's the dangerous part, because Dak Prescott was not going to be shy. And he's also experienced enough at this point of his career, to identify a mismatch and to try to exploit it. And that is a mismatch. There's no question about it.
100 years ago, we're having a conversation about how to fix an NFL game, if you're ever so inclined. And the conclusion was, you know, get a backup corner who's forced to play and have him slip a couple times, or get an offensive line tackle forced onto the field, a lineman forced onto the field, and have him fall down a couple times. You could get the quarterback hurt. You could get, I mean, that's how you go about it.
Talking to Josh Shaw?
To do it. No, it was years ago.
Oh, okay.
But that went through my head when I Kevin Tolliver, maybe we should have a conversation. Again, total joke, would never do it. Collier's in Dalton. Good morning, Collier.
Morning, Collier.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
Love the show. I'm going with the Chicago Bears. I'm a Bear fan, and we got the weather, and I think they're going to make Prescott look real bad. I know you don't see it, but I do.
Okay.
Collier,
Fair enough. When
the best thing you can say about the Bears is it's going to be the weather.
Yeah.
That's not saying a lot about the roster.
And it's not like it's going to be below zero.
41.
That's
41 at kickoff.
That's a balmy, December in Chicago.
That's a very 41. Nice December night. And you would want it to be snowing. You would want it to be slushy, rainy, icy. You would want it to be like it was when the Cowboys played the Patriots and they did not understand how to deal with the elements.
Let's try Ryan. He's listening on radio.com. Hey, Ryan.
Morning, Ryan.
Good morning. I love you guys' show up here in Wisconsin. My question was for Rich. He projected 24-13. Does that have Pinheiro missing an extra point or kicking two field goals? Because his kicking has been quite frustrating lately. So just want to get your take on that. Thanks, guys.
Wow. I mean, are you telling me Cold Weather Eddie could run into problems at Soldier Field? I thought we had decided that's his home ground.
Based on the level of trust that Matt Nagy placed in Eddie Pinheiro under ideal situation and circumstances and conditions at Ford Field, I'd say that's probably him missing an extra point.
So help me out. At Soldier Field, 40-degree temperatures. Yep. I don't know how the wind is, but you know it's always a factor.
Always.
Where are you kicking from? Is it,
what's the number?
46 in, 45 in.
With the Bears, it's probably 40. It's below 45. I can't see him attempting a field goal.
So they're not going to try a 48-yarder,
no.
Right?
Uh-uh.
They're not going to try a 47, no 40. Would they try a 45-yarder?
Is Collinsworth here? No. Okay. I mean, because
it's fourth and six.
All right, so it's fourth and six where?
You're at the 25.
All right, so that'd be a 42-yarder?
And you're in for that.
You might try for a 42-yarder.
You're at the 28.
Okay, so that'd be a 45-yarder, fourth and six or less. They're going for it. They're getting in the shotgun. They're standing next to David Montgomery back there, and they're going to do some sort of RPO, and they're going to look for. I just don't think that he's given us any reason to think that they will believe in Eddie Pinheiro.
I mean,
what if hypothetically, is just a total hypothetical, would never happen, they had a 48-point extra point attempt? Are you going for two, or are you kicking? Totally hypothetical.
Let's try Josh in McHenry. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love
Good.
The show.
Thank you.
Just want to say that I think the Bears are going to get after him on defense, take that ball away, make Ezekiel Elliott fumble a couple times, hop on at least one of them, hopefully. I think that's a big deal for the Cowboys, especially, like you said, how the shift in the Bears when there's expectations there versus no expectations, and it's kind of like where the Cowboys are at. Kick them while they're down and just keep beating them up. And I think Bears win 24-20.
Wow. Okay.
Josh, that's optimistic. And I think I understand why you would think that their defense is capable of doing that. And I agree with that. The defense is capable of changing this game with a turnover. My problem is no matter how motivated the Bears are or how psychologically focused they might be in terms of developing an edge, I don't know how that's going to help them run the ball. I don't know how that's going to help them move the ball. My problem is that I struggle to see how this offense is going to score points against a defense that the front seven is, in the words of Mark Helfrich / PJ Fleck, elite, elite, elite.
Yeah.
Is that elite enough for you?
Listen, I'm far from pleased right now thinking this through. What we're going to do? We'll bring in Michael Lombardi. He always cheers us up. We'll ask him.
My favorite part of the week, I got to tell you.
We'll ask him if he thinks Mitch has played better.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
If you bet MVP Mitch to win the MVP, you might want to consider that you're not going to get paid on that ticket.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
I want to have a convention of the Mitchell Trubisky MVP voters. I want you to come out of the closet. Like, I want you to come out and say, yes, I did. And just own it. Just, we all have made mistakes. I've had bad draft picks. You got to own it. Like, you got to own it. You know the guy that's probably ripping my ass on Twitter? It's probably got an MVP ticket from Mitch.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And on the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Lombardi. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on Radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by the gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And Michael joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Two Thursdays in a row. Your schedule's all messed up.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I was reading a statistic that that Jason Garrett, as a head coach, has never won consecutive games on Thanksgiving Day, but he just can't do it. But he is 5-0 the week after. So apparently the Cowboys are going to come in here tomorrow night and take care of business, if you like that statistic. Or this is a team falling apart, with the owner saying again yesterday, and we talked last week about him. He said on the radio in Dallas that he believes that Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. Didn't say in what role, didn't say with what team, but he said it. So got to be true.
Well, I mean, look, he loves to say that because he's got, you know, I'm sure Jason Garrett has offset clauses in his contract. So for Jerry, him promoting Jason to be in the league somewhere next year is essentially a financial play, not a love of Jason play, because if he gets a gig, then Jerry's going to be off the hook for some of that coin that he's been giving Jason.
Mike, Matt Nagy's been talking about the progress Mitch Trubisky has made in recent weeks, and last Thursday against the Lions, he had a really strong second half, had a 90-yard drive. What value do you place on his progress against the Lions and, I guess, before that against the Giants?
You know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, and I don't want to be like, okay, you just pick on Trubisky all the time. But that Lions defense has got to be one of the worst defenses in football. In fact, I picked the Bears to beat the Lions when they played at home. I thought he would have that kind of game in Soldier Field. You know, I thought he could do that. I mean, the Lions are just not a good team. And if you're evaluating your team based on the Lions defense, and I'm sure, look, Matt's got to try to instill confidence in Mitchell Trubisky. But until Trubisky does it against a really good defense, I'm not going to take the bait on it. Now, I think that game for Bear fans is problematic, because if the administration thinks that there's more of that type of game to come, then you're going to be watching Mitchell play quarterback for you next year.
And I guess when we start evaluating where the Bears are, you start with where the expectations were. The coach kind of saying that I don't want to misrepresent it, but almost saying that it's really significant that they're playing meaningful games in December, given where they were earlier in the year, and kind of congratulating himself on keeping the team together in a way. Is that an achievement? Is that unusual to see that happen with a team?
Oh, I mean, look, I think he's just, you know, I think part of what appeals Matt to the front office is Matt's a really good company guy. He toes the line. He spreads the narrative that all's good. I mean, look, let's face it. David Blau moved the ball against this vaulted Chicago Bear defense. I mean, they were in control of that game. I mean, there's a lot of issues in Chicago, offensively, defensively, and within the kicking game. So you can put the spin on it all you want, but are you going to beat a good team? Could you go into Seattle and win? Do you think you're going to be able to go to Minnesota and win a game up there? Do you think you can go and play New Orleans and San Francisco? I mean, that was the expectation. And then anything less than that, I mean, to me, that's not what you're paid to do. You're paid to win Super Bowls. You're paid to win championships.
You know, Mike, you write in The Athletic this week about the coaches on the hot seat and the teams likely to make a move. You had the Giants, the Jaguars, the Cowboys, and then the Panthers. And then the Panthers, they act yesterday getting rid of Ron Rivera. Why did that happen now, and who do you think is next?
Well, I think the Panthers are really an interesting study because David Tepper, if you mention his name to anybody on Wall Street, they hold him in reverence. And I think if you just look at his interview yesterday, you can see he's a thoughtful man, he's a practical man, and he knew this wasn't going to go in the direction he wanted it to go. And I think he wants to be able to have to be the first one at the bat. I think he thinks he has an attractive job. I think he's got to be able to – he's talking about hiring a personnel director, talking about hiring a football ops guy. You know, he's also talking about keeping Marty Herney, which is fascinating. I don't know how many coaches are going to want to do that, but that's the reality. And I think he wants to get a head start on everything, and he thought it was the right time. Look, the Panthers are not a good football team. They've got a couple good players. Their talent level, I think he's misconstrued his talent level of his team. His offensive line isn't very good. His defensive line isn't very good. And when you lose to Washington at home in front of your home crowd going up 14-3, life's not going to be easy for you. And I think Ron probably needs a change. And they need a change from Ron.
Back to Dallas for a second. I think one of the really curious elements of their season is they are really struggling at -4 in turnover percentage. They have 16 giveaways to just 12 takeaways. And as David mentioned earlier, their defense is not forced a turnover in four games. How do you just run out of luck with turnovers? How do you stop, given that they are one of three teams that is in the top 10 in both offense and defense? The other two are Baltimore and San Francisco, who might meet in the Super Bowl. How do you stop being able to get the ball?
Well, I think there's a couple issues when you talk about the Cowboys. First of all, they are 5-18 when they play more than 30 minutes of football. So this is all about – this question is not just singularly involving in turnovers. It really is over the landscape, and it probably lays right at Jason Garrett's feet. The Cowboys, as I just mentioned, are 5-18 when they play more than 30 minutes. When Zeke's not involved – the last time he had 30 carries was against the Giants 5 weeks ago. He's on pace to have one of the lowest career touches in terms of running the football. They become pass-happy, and because they become pass-happy, they've had moments where they go three and out. And that puts a defense that's not very big back on the field, and people have tend to worn them out. Now, they are dynamic when they play less than 30 minutes of defense. They're 20-4 in those games. They're unbelievable. So they haven't been able to play a complementary style, and I think a lot of that goes to the head coach. You've got to set up a game plan. I mean, they don't get Zeke the ball enough running, and they definitely don't get him enough in the passing game. This is what they talked about when they fired Scott Linehan. Zeke needs to be more involved. That hasn't been the case. And all these things come into play because when turnovers occur, you're usually playing from in front. You're usually being able to be more aggressive with your defensive calls. That hasn't been the case the last 4 weeks in Dallas.
Mike, I know you don't have the opportunity probably to watch every snap of every Bears game, but I do think you probably watch closely enough to have an idea or an opinion about Chuck Pagano. To me, tomorrow night is an opportunity for Pagano to really make an impression, make his strongest impression of the season yet, because he could be without Prince Amukamara. He's playing without Akeem Hicks. He doesn't have Danny Trevathan. And yet, prime time against the Cowboys team with the leading passer in the NFL, if you can scheme your way to a victory, you can make an impression that I think he needs to make. What kind of year has he had? And would you agree that tomorrow night's an opportunity?
Yeah, I think it really is a huge opportunity. I think Chuck's done a good job, but I don't think Chuck's done the job that Vic Fangio has done. I think the defense has not played to the level that it needs to play to carry the team, and I think a lot of that is the frustration within the offense. I think there's some elements that go along with complementary football that affects Chuck. But this is going to be a really hard game for Chuck. It's going to be a really hard game for the Bears because this offensive line of the Cowboys can protect. They can protect. And look, Jason Garrett makes a lot of mistakes during a game, and if he doesn't double Mac in this game, it's really going to cost them. If they control Mac in the pass rush in this game, they'll block everybody else fairly effectively, and then they can have their delight at throwing at the secondary. I think this is a big game for the Cowboys because if they take care of Mac, I think it's going to be a challenge for the Bears to slow him down.
When we start talking about firing time in the league and who has to go and all that stuff, I wonder how many college coaches would be in play. And do you consider Jim Harbaugh a college coach? Or given his success previously in the league, could he be a guy that someone tries to coax out of college? I was going to say the other one is obviously Urban Meyer because I've heard his name thrown around all of a sudden.
You know, look, Matt Rhule, I think, is going to be the hottest coach in football. I mean, he's gone down to Baylor. You know, he interviewed for the Colts job 2 years ago. Jim Irsay just didn't feel like he could hire a coach who had one win and bring him in with any validity to his fan base, and probably was right, but he was wrong. The next year he had the Jet job. He just wasn't going to take the Jet job based on what Mike McKagan wanted him to do with his coaching staff. So, I mean, I think, look, Matt Rhule's an outstanding coach. I think somebody would be really delighted to get him. He's got a huge contract at Baylor, so that's going to be problematic. I think Jim Harbaugh the same way. I don't think there's enough candidates to fill the role, and I think it's interesting to understand, and I'm going to write this for The Athletic on this week, is I think these teams, everybody wants to have a giant list of coaches for these jobs, when in reality, if you don't know what you need for your team, how can you go off the same list everybody else is operating on? Right? Your team needs something different than someone else's, or else you wouldn't be in the, or else you're in the same shoes. And that's never the case. I think a guy like Don Martindale at the Baltimore Ravens has done a really good job. I mean, people talk about the Ravens offense and they talk about Greg Roman. He's done a great job. But that defense over the last 6 weeks has been the huge difference in why they've been so successful.
Our conversation with Michael Lombardi is brought to you by Amco Transmission and Total Car Care. Along the same lines, Michael, you look at Jacksonville, and you write about that this week as well. And you, interesting point, if you're not going to, you know, if you're going to move on, you need a singular voice. If you're not going to make Tom Coughlin the head coach, why, you know, maybe you make the you clean house entirely. Is that a possibility?
Look, one of my favorite lines of all time is they've never dedicated a monument to a committee. And what they have a committee down at Jacksonville, and that doesn't work, right? There's no monument dedicated to the committee. You know, it's so bad, right? And look, Coughlin has a coaching gene in him. He wants to coach the team. Marone came out this week and said he's been second-guessed internally. What do you think that means? We know what that means. I'm not an idiot, right? I understand exactly what that means.
So what I think has to happen is I think they definitely have to get one voice.
I think they definitely have to get one person running their team. David Caldwell's been down there since 2013. He's got more top five picks playing for the Rams than he does playing for his team. So I think with Shaq Khan, look, this team's had one winning season since 2010. I mean, you can replace the people all you want, right? Until Shaq Khan replaces the organization and fixes it, you're never going to win. You've had double-digit losses over the last 10 years. It's not a people problem. It's a production problem. It's a design problem. And until you figure that out, you can't go forward. I think the Jaguars are so poorly built. They've got a shotgun quarterback who needs run-pass options, who's had world-class moments but never a world-class career in Nick Foles. They've got a running back who they drafted ahead of a bunch of really talented quarterbacks, and yet he's a deep-eye tailback, and he's playing in a shotgun. They've got a bad offensive line, and they've got a defense that's no longer in vogue. I mean, I think you could not look at that team and say, wow, they are really well built by a really good football man.
Michael, there are five teams in the NFL with 10-2 records. The Ravens are one of them. They've beaten three others, San Francisco, Seattle, and New England. The only other team would be New Orleans, and the only chance they have a play in them would be in the Super Bowl. Is Baltimore that much ahead of the rest of the pack?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. Baltimore, that looks like it's really good that they've played these other teams and won.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to play Lamar Jackson to really understand how to play Lamar Jackson. I don't think you can do it just off of tape. I think when you get a peek at him, I think you now understand what you have to do to make the adjustments to get him to play better. And I think that'll be the challenge. Can New England do that? I don't know. I think New England's problem when they play Baltimore the next time is going to be the same problem they had. Is Baltimore's corners locked onto the receivers of New England, and they had a hard time separating, and it made Brady frustrated.
Will they get someone back? Will they make some kind of move for Antonio Brown? I know there's been a lot of talk about that.
I don't see that. As I said all year, Antonio Brown was never a luxury. He was a necessity. And I think that's been their problem. They've got to get the players they have better. That's the Belichick way. We've got to get these players. We have to get these receivers to play at a higher level. That's our job.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That is always a joy to talk to Michael Lombardi. A lot of very interesting stuff there. And, of course, MichaelRadio.com, Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by the gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. You can listen to Michael on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on Radio.com. or wherever you get your podcast.
I think what he's trying to say about the Patriots is that only they could get their quarterback to play at a higher level than Mitchell Trubisky, then that guy could probably come around and they could go somewhere.
Is that really what he said?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just looking at the numbers, though. Tom Brady has not had a Tom Brady-like year.
Well, it would help if he could play the Lions a couple times.
Maybe.
Right? We're sitting here praising Mitch because he's got, what, 8 touchdown passes in his last 4 games. 6 of them came against the Lions.
Brady has 4 more games, and you expect them to, even without Antonio Brown, to be a lot better heading into the postseason.
I'm totally with you. I don't disagree.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.